Let's start with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for giving us this breath, life, this life, Lord, that we can wake up early in the morning and just come here in the sanctuary to experience you, Father God. I pray and welcome the Holy Spirit to be in this place or to people that are listening, Father God, Lord, and yes, Lord, reveal to them what you want to speak, Father God. I pray that you anoint my tongue. Lord, I pray that if of my disobedience, if there's anything that is coming out of my mouth that is not of you, Lord, I pray that you refrain from the people that are listening to register in their mind, heart, and soul, Lord. I want to thank you, Father. We love you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, yeah, it's me again. Most of our CMP speakers are out of town, so it's me again. This probably is the first time that I'm sharing like within such a short span of time, like twice in 3 weeks. So actually, I was also joking like in the chat group that I should call this EMP message Lonely Christmas. But then, of course, thankful to Jackie and Ernie, they're here to support. But then also, more importantly, there's no reference in the Bible that we are lonely. Especially Christmas. We have Emmanuel, God with us. We are never supposed to think ourselves to be lonely or alone. So, yeah, don't worry. That won't be the title. As I was praying and asking God what to share, and I will be honest, it was a bit difficult to hear or sense what he wants me to share. For whatever reason, maybe I was tired or had a tough week or just a bit sick. I read through passages after passages. I listened over sermons and sermons, but somehow I didn't get a sense of what I should share. I just feel like I'm hitting a wall again and again. Then until like 3 days ago, I came across this passage in Exodus 6, and somehow I finally sensed, this is what God wants me to share. And specifically from verse 1 to 8, and I hope that the Holy Spirit will guide me to speak to you through these verses. And I do sense that these verses are for someone here or someone who is listening. So, okay. So before we read today's passage, I just want to like give a brief background of what happened before chapter 6. So Exodus chapter 5 ended in low point where Moses began to act on behalf of his people, and Pharaoh reacted negatively. In his response, Pharaoh increased the hardship of the Israelites. Not only that they had to meet the quota of making the bricks, but now they have to go find their own straws, the main material that was required to make the bricks. And the Israelites turned against Moses and started questioning Moses and indirectly God. They were saying that God sent you to deliver us, Moses? Where is the deliverance? All you managed is to make things worse. Not only that, now we are physically beaten, we have to complete double of what we are supposed to do. Why have you brought us into such trouble, Moses? And Moses, being the great leader that he is, he went to God and complained to God that he hasn't done what he has been promised. He said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble to these people? Is this why you have sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name," in a way Moses was saying, "I've been obedient to you, but things have not been smooth at all. And you have not rescued your people at all, and I look bad in front of them. It's all because of you, God. Let alone rescuing them, you have made their pain doubled." Does anyone feel the same here? That you have been obedient and been doing all the things God wanted you to do, but it seems things are just not working, or not in your favor at least. So chapter 5 ended with a rather discouraging in terms of the faithfulness of God's leader and people that he wanted to deliver. But then in chapter 6, we find a totally different story and a response from God. Chapter 5 was about pain, discouragement, and complaining. Let's see what chapter 6 has. So we will read from Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of this land, of his land." God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Amen. So after hearing all the complaints, God patiently listened and started his reply with a reminder to Moses. So in verse 2, God reminded Moses that who he is. He simply said, "I am the Lord." If I was God, that would be my reply. "I'm God, I'm in control, you are not. Mic drop, case closed." But I think everyone is glad that I'm not God. But God patiently continued to tell Moses and further explained what he was going to do. In verse 3, it kind of feels a strange passage, because it kind of sounds like contradicting, but it's not, of course. "And I appear," he says in verse 3, "that I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name I did not make myself known to them." So what is God saying here? Does Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob know the name of God or not? Is God saying that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never heard of the word, or never heard the name of God? Of course not. God's name is not just for us to call him. But his name also have a specific meaning and insight of who he is. He was not saying that they haven't heard my name, but God was saying that they haven't seen my name played out in action. So basically he was telling Moses that I'll show you my name in action the way that your ancestors have never seen it before. They know El Shaddai, but you will see El Shaddai in action. If you have ever prayed for healing or have ever seen the healing take place, then you have seen Jehovah Jireh played out. He has revealed his name to you. In the same way, God will play out his names for us in a way we never imagined. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Then God gave 7 I wills, promises to the people of Israel. From verse 6 to 8. Each of these I wills are spoken as past tense in Hebrew, not future. So God was saying, as in these things are already completed and done. And this is where I do sense that someone here or listening, these promises are not only for the Israelites, it's also for us believers. So I will share these promises, but you have to stretch out your hands to catch them. It's like Christmas gifts. God is throwing gifts out, but we still have to catch them. So catch them, okay? Ready? The first one, I will bring you out from the burdens. So the Israelites were in the worst condition during the rule of Pharaoh. For 400 years, they were under oppression of Pharaoh. Pharaoh forced them for hard labor. And basically, if you think about it, all the pyramids and sphinx that we see in Egypt today were most likely built by them. So these pyramids, as you know, is not small. The bricks that are used are huge. So it was very tough for the people of Israel. And also, Egypt in the Bible is a representation of the world and a worldly system. God was saying that I'm going to save you from the worldly system and lift you out of slavery from this world. Give you meaning of this life, and not just burdened by this world, but will free you from the burden of sin. One of the way we are being freed from the burdens is forgiveness. And our God, Heavenly Father, is here to bring us forgiveness into our lives so that we can be lifted from this burden of sin. So there's a story that I want to share. Should be true from Google. So there was this person in Spain, a man named Pedro. He had a son whom his relationship was bad with. Every day, basically, their conversation was filled with shouts and insults. Paco, the son, reproached his father for not understanding him, and Pedro reproached his son for being a rebel. So one day, the son left the house. The father panicked and searched everywhere. He ran to all his friends. He went to all the places that he might have been, but he was not able to find him. So finally, running out of ideas and not knowing what to do, he put an article in the daily newspaper, El País, from Madrid. The article said, "Paco, I forgive you with all my heart. Come home. I love you and I miss you terribly. Come meet me tomorrow at noon in front of the newspaper office at the main square. Your father who loves you." Next day, the father, of course, hurried in front of the office of the newspaper, and he was surprised to see 800 Pacos who were waiting, each one thinking that it was him this message was for from their father. Each one of them had come searching for the love and forgiveness from their father. Let that sink in for us. Man's greatest need is forgiveness, and God's greatest deed is forgiving. He gave his only begotten son for you and I. If you have walked away or have never heard or had a relationship with your Heavenly Father, he is waiting for you to come back. It's really just that simple. The ceiling between us and God is not that high. That's what I've learned in Alpha. So basically, just a very simple thing. Just tell God that you are sorry. Thank him and just please. So three things. Sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry that you have done things to hurt him. Thank you for sending Jesus to come into our lives. And invite him to tell him to please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. So the first catch is God's forgiveness and joy is there for you to catch. So catch it. The second, I will deliver you from bondage. God was saying that I will bring freedom and liberation to the Israelites. How does God liberate us? He changes us from the inside out. If you feel you're addicted to something, maybe alcohol, smoking or anything, ask God to change you from the inside out. The freedom is not going to come from outside, but from inside. Pray to him and ask God to free you. Resist the temptation from this addiction, whatever that addiction is. Even though it will be difficult and a full withdrawal may take some time, but as Christians, we look to God from whom help comes from. So set our hearts to things above and pray that God will strengthen and give victory over whatever addiction that we have. Always remember, don't leave God out of any attempts to overcome any addiction. So God's freedom and liberation is waiting for you to catch. Third, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Here God is saying that I'm going to do anything as long as I can lift you back up again. I'm going to do anything as long as I can win you back. For us, it means his arms stretched out on the cross for us. He proved his love for me and he proved his love for you by stretching his arms on the cross. In Psalm 103 verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us." It talks about the blessing, God, and his forgiveness is stretched from east to west. Actually, have you ever thought why it's east to west and not north to south? I mean, if you travel from North Pole all the way to South Pole, the next step you take, you're going to turn back to north. So basically, there's a limit. But if you walk east, you'll always be walking east. You'll never meet west. And if you walk west, you'll always be walking west. You'll never meet east. Which means that God is basically telling us that his love for us and his willingness to forgive us is infinite. Also, just a side note, by this verse, at least that's how I think, we can debunk the misconception of people who think that the Bible is not scientific or that it has talked about a flat earth. This verse clearly implies that David, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew that the earth was round. Otherwise, it's impossible to go east and not meet west, right? So, before any scientific findings. So God's redemption is there for you to catch. Next, I will take you for my people. God made the Israelite his family, and God is here telling everyone who feels that there's no family for you during this Christmas that he is your family. He is your father. And he has blessed you with a Christian family here at SP, in your house church, where you can reach out to people and spend time together. Never think that you are alone. That's what the enemy wants you to think. But you are never alone, and will never be alone, because God of the universe has taken you as his son and his daughter. So God's family and support is there for you to catch. Fifth, I will be your God. God revealed himself to the people of Israel and promised that he will be there with them forever and have a permanent relationship with them. God is also telling us that he will reveal himself to us and show another dimension of God that we didn't know before. So God's next level of revelation is there waiting for you to catch. Sixth, almost there, ending soon. I will bring you to the promised land. God is going to complete the work that he has started in you. You may think or feel that God has dumped you along the road somewhere and think that God has lost his plans for you. No, that is not true. That is a lie. He will complete whatever he has started in your life. If the calling was from God, he will bring it to you, to the promised land. So God's complete work in your life is there for you to catch. And the final one, provision. I will give it to you for a possession. Here God is saying that he will take care of all the needs of you and your family. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. This is a very powerful and encouraging verse. It may sound daunting or even worrying that at this moment there's a heritage for you, but always remember there's a heritage for you and God is going to give it to you. So God's heritage and provision is there for you to catch. Yeah, so catch all of the seven. Amen? Okay, yeah, can I invite Ernie to you? So I do pray and hope that somehow God has spoken to you through this. Seven times God said, "I will," to the Israelites. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us these seven I wills. I will bring you out from the burdens. I will deliver you from the bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you for my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the promised land. I will give it to you for a possession. I will, 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 God declares. And if you noticed, all of these are unconditional. Did the Israelites have to do anything? No. They were complaining and grumbling. In the same way, you and I don't have to do anything, but He'll still keep His promises that He has made to you. So let's spend some time in thanksgiving and thank God for all His promises. Like these seven I wills, we should also think that, like the way that God has spoken these seven I wills as the past tense, we should also thank Him, like this, whatever promise that He has given you have already been done. You may not see these things becoming reality right now, but from God's perspective, these things have already been done. So let's see the promises from God's perspective and not from our own. So let's pray.
Be the wind inside. inside my veins. The echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. God, You are good. Yes, good. Oh, You are good. Good. Oh, Lord, You are good. Oh, You're never gonna, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, never gonna let me down. Never gonna let me down. Lord, You are good, good. Oh, Lord, You are good. Oh, Lord, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good.
I didn't plan to share this, but like as I was worshiping, I was just, I've been struggling like to whether to say this or not, but I just hope that whatever I share will be encouraging to someone who is going through tough times. I mean, even though for me this is just something not that tough, I was like, I was sharing in the beginning that not until 2 or 3 days ago that I was able to come up with this passage. But and I was like listening sermons after sermons, reading passages after passages, and nothing came. But when God gave me this passage, all the things that I've learned or heard, the sermons that I've heard, were used within what I've shared today. So I just want to encourage someone that if you feel like that nothing is happening in your life, don't worry. Whatever experience that you have gained during these desert times, when God moves, those things will not be in vain. They will come into play and into action, and it will come become a very beautiful picture in your life. So just hold on, like the song was saying, just hold on to God. And when He moves, everything else will be fine. So Father God, we want to thank You, Lord. Thank You for the goodness that You have, Father God. As some of us may be going through desert times, we don't feel that You are here. We don't feel that You are talking to us, or we don't feel that we are going anywhere. But Lord, I know that You are working in the background. And when You move, when You show up, when you declare yourself to us, things are going to happen. And it will come up with a very beautiful picture in our lives. Amen. So let's turn our attention to prayer focus. Let's pray for our community who are going through cancer, chemo, and radiation, and surgery. Let's pray for community members who are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for our community members who are going through infirmities. Just for David Wu, I'm not sure if you're aware, but he had a successful surgery, and the tumor was taken out, and praise God that it was nothing cancerous. So be thankful for that. Pray for our community members who are looking for jobs. Let's turn our attention to our mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea for open doors for the ministry, missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. So pray for the persecuted churches and the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings, PMC, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, mission workers outreach, all the Sunday services, SP kids,
worship, hospitality, SP Youth, SPIN, SPIL services and activities, and all the meetings.
So let's lift up Hong Kong. Continue to pray for peace to be in this city. And pray for, once again, all the Christians in Hong Kong to act like Jesus would act in these situations. Also pray that we will be a great reflection of Jesus in people's life, that will make an impact, a positive impact, for the kingdom of God to be here in Hong Kong. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you, God, that for all the promises that you have given us, you see them as already been done and completed. Father God, give us the faith that we'll see like you see in our situations, whatever that situation may be, Lord. And thank you for the promises that you have given us. Thank you for this unconditional covenant that you have blessed us with, Father God, Lord. Lord, I pray that, as these seven I wills, Lord, I pray that will speak to us, Father God, and we'll grab on to these I wills, these promises, Father God. Lord, thank you that, yes, Lord, we don't have to do anything, and you will do everything for us. And thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. During this Christmas season, Lord, we want to thank you that Emmanuel, God with us, is here, Father. And we are never to be feeling alone, Lord. Lord, I pray that all of us will continue to have a rest of the great weekend, Lord. And we want to thank you for everything you have done for us. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name.